you would, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to read starting at verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, we're going to look at the parable of the two builders for just a little bit this morning. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." First, the builders were not compared and contrasted as to what they built. They are observed with respect to the foundation upon which they built. The success of the wise man was not because his house was built better, but because it was founded on the rock. The failure of the foolish man, was not because his house was shoddily constructed, but because its foundation was not stable. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 49. Luke chapter 6 and verse 49. "But he who had heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Second, what judged one to be wise and the other foolish was not that one was more intelligent than the other. It was the foundation upon which they constructed their houses which made one wise and the other foolish. Third, the wise man's house did not endure because the storm was any less severe against his house. Both houses were beaten and battered vehemently. Look in Luke chapter 6 and verse 48. "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock." Again, it was the nature of the foundation, the rock versus sand, which determined which house was ruined. Fourth, the builder's quality and character are determined by one thing: did they hear and obey the word of the Lord? To hear and obey is to be a wise builder. To hear and not obey is to be a foolish builder. Fifth, storms and trials of life may be expected. In the final analysis, this is the judgment of God. Those who have heard and obey will be saved. Look at Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22 and verse 14. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have their right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city." Their souls have been built upon a rock foundation. Those who have heard and not obeyed will be lost. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. Romans chapter 2 and verse 8. "But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, their souls, their lives, were built upon the sands of disobedience to the will of God." Upon what are we building? Or more properly, upon whom are we building? Our building is to be upon him who is a tried stone and a sure foundation. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28, starting at verse 14. Isaiah 28 and verse 14. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men, who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves. Therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Let's look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 11. Acts chapter 4 and verse 11. This is the stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now having read those scriptures, the question remains before us, upon what are we building? Remember, the builder who hears and obeys the word of God is building on the rock. Are our lives conformed to the world, to its image, to its style? They will not be if we have heard and obey the word of the Lord with respect to living godly lives. Christians cannot be conformed to this world. Let's look at Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable, and what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's also turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 15. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For of all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. When they hear the word and do it not, and are condemned as foolish builders. When disciples drink, dress, dance, and divorce like the world, they are hearing and doing not. They are building upon the sand. When the trials and the tempests of life arise and beat upon that house or that life, its ruin will be total and complete. Too often members of the Lord's body are content to be seen as wise builders because they diligently and earnestly have followed the pattern of truth to become children of God. Some never progress beyond this point. Do we not know that we must continue to hear and obey? That we must deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world? Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Titus 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave excuse me, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. The wise builder lives after the Spirit in accordance with the spiritual teachings. Excuse me, in accordance with the Spirit's teachings, doing the will of God. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Galatians 5 and verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. For those who are Christ, having crucified the flesh with its passion and desires, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. The foolish builder lives after the flesh in accordance with the desires of the flesh. He hears, but does not do the will of God. When bitter hearts and biting tongues haunt and taunt their brethren, they become foolish builders. For they have heard the word of God, which says to follow peace with all men, but they have not obeyed. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. How we treat others is how we treat Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. We'll start at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set his sheep on the right hand, but the goats on his left hand. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick and in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. How we love others is how we love Christ. How we mistreat others is how we mistreat him. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. But when you thus sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 5. And I wonder that didn't look right. I was in 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound in you, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's also look at chapter 3 and verse 18. Chapter 3 and verse 18, But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. If we are not growing, we are foolish builders. We have heard what God expects of us personally, and we have known how he wants us to treat our brethren. If we let our tongues and our temper control us, then we are foolish builders, whose homes and souls will come to ultimate and eternal ruin. Let's look at James chapter 4 and verse 17. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. The parable of the two builders is a fitting climax to the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. The whole sermon was based upon the blessedness of those who would hear and obey the Lord as opposed to those who would be brought to ruin by refusing to obey him who they had heard speak with the power and authority of heaven. That's the lesson this morning. I also want to remind you of the Ethiopian eunuch. If you want to turn over to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We want to offer the invitation this morning as we always do. If you have heard and you want to obey, we can help you this morning. If you believe and you want to repent of your sins and turn away from them and confess the name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and be immersed this morning, we can help you do that. I want you to look at what the Ethiopian eunuch did. We'll start at verse 26. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge over all the treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake the chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he was reading was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preaching Jesus to him. Now Philip's going to preach Jesus to the Ethiopian eunuch. So he's going to hear Jesus Christ. Now what is he going to do after he hears Jesus Christ? Verse 36. "And now as he went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him." He heard, and he obeyed. You have the opportunity this morning to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not guaranteed another minute, another second. Christ could return at any time. We could be pulling out of the parking lot here and get run over, and this could be the last moments we have on this earth. If you haven't obeyed the will of God, and you want to do that this morning, we can help you if you come forward as we stand and sing.